The views and opinions expressed on a Gaza Corner, which is usually around 11 o'clock tonight, 11:30. The views and opinions are mine, not necessarily those of a KALW, a public media. The topic for Gaza Corner tonight is the suspension of funding to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Some 20 wealthy Western countries, led by the United States, have frozen their aid, as of the moment, to UNRWA. This was a key issue that I and three other members of my congressional district brought up at an in-person meeting at Representative Kevin Mullen's office in San Mateo earlier this week. I live in San Francisco, but this year, effective 2024, my little slice of San Francisco, the Excelsior-Portola area, which is District 11, got moved to being part of Kevin Mullen's District 15. Nancy Pelosi had been my congressperson for many, many, of course, forever. And when it comes to Israel and Palestine, Pelosi, I've learned, is a lost cause. But I wanted to know if Mullen is a cog in the Democratic machine that is complicit, led by Biden, in the ongoing genocide in Gaza, or if Mullen has an independent approach. In advance of the meeting at Mullen's office, not with Mullen, he was in Washington, we were told that we were meeting with Mario Rendon, who was described as the Middle East foreign relations expert in the San Mateo office. So we sent several questions in advance, so at least he'd know where we're coming from and obviously could find out the answers. When we met Mario, he immediately told us he knows very little about foreign relations and really nothing about the Middle East. And he's more of a jack of all trades. His business card reads District Director. So, I mean, he was honest about his lack of knowledge. He was an eager listener, took a lot of notes, super nice guy. But the meeting was really a farce. Again, we submitted these questions in advance, and he couldn't answer them. Two questions, for example: does Representative Mullen agree with the Biden administration's suspension of aid to UNRWA? He didn't know. Another key question was, does Mullen support legislation to prevent the United States from ever resuming that UNRWA funding, which was language tacked on to the $95 billion foreign aid package that the Senate passed this past Tuesday, including $14.1 billion for Israel? Only two Democrats and Bernie voted against it. I'm not counting the Republicans who had their own reasons for voting against it. But Bernie voted against it, and Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, and the other Vermont Senator Peter Welch. The prospects of the bill passing in the House are actually very low. It has nothing to do with Israel, but it has to do with Speaker Mike Johnson wanting to add new anti-immigrant and border enforcement amendments before voting on this foreign aid bill. So as I said, Mario didn't have the answers, which was really kind of disheartening in terms of my little glimpse into the inner, shall I say, non-workings of democracy. I did ask him if Representative Mullen actually has a Middle East expert in the D.C. office. And Mario did say yes. Her name is Kate Adams, and I can have a meeting with Kate on Zoom. And I plan to set one up in the next few weeks. And anybody who is in Mullen's district, email me if you want to be part of the Zoom meeting. I'd love to have you join. So that means if you live in Daly City, South San Francisco, San Bruno, Millbrae, Burlingame, Hillsborough, San Mateo, I feel like I'm a train conductor, Foster City, San Carlos, Belmont, Redwood City, East Palo Alto, and the tiny sliver of San Francisco where I live, chances are Mullen is your congressperson. You can find out by just Googling, quote, find your congressional representative by address. If you just type that in, find your congressional representative by address, you'll find out. Don't just put your zip code, put your whole address. I put my zip code at first and it got it wrong. So do put your whole address, then it will get it right. UNRWA was established following the Nakba. It was established in 1949. It actually got started providing services in 1950. It's been a lifeline for the Palestinian refugees in Gaza, the West Bank, East Jerusalem, as well as Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. UNRWA provides essentially the tasks that usually governments perform in the areas where it operates. And nowhere is this more true than in Gaza. It's become part and parcel of the daily life at a time when Gazans face mass starvation, imminent famine, chronic deadly disease, daily bombardment in Israel's ongoing genocide, or as the International Criminal Court, ICJ, phrased it as, quote-unquote, plausible genocide. That was the words used in the January 26th ruling. UNRWA is the third largest employer in Gaza, 13,000, 30,000 overall. It provides shelters for well over 1 million displaced Palestinians, provides vital services such as food and water, health care, medicine, education. Gazans have an extremely high literacy rate. The education is very high quality. All the schools have been bombed. There are no schools that can be used right now. And UNRWA serves almost 6 million Palestinian refugees, as I mentioned, living throughout Gaza, the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. On the same day of the ICJ ruling on January 26th that laid out six provisional measures for Israel to abide by, including a directive that the Israeli military does not commit genocidal acts, and enabling the provision of urgently needed basic services and humanitarian assistance, that same day, Israeli allegations were made public that UNRWA employees allegedly participated in the October 7th Hamas attacks. It appeared Israel sprung these allegations as a way to divert from the ICJ ruling because the timing was so coincidental. But the timing is actually not what it appears. I will quote from Daniel Forti, F-O-R-T-I, senior analyst at UN Advocacy and Research at the Crisis Group. And this article in a Q&A format is both at the Crisis Group and UNRWA's website. Quote, on the 18th of January, Israel presented to the UNRWA allegations that 12 of its roughly 13,000 employees in the Gaza Strip had participated in the October 7th attack on Israeli towns led by the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The allegations, which were publicly disclosed by UNRWA on January 26th and spelled out in an Israeli intelligence document shared with several media outlets 3 days later, also claimed that nearly 10% of the agency's staff have ties to Hamas. Thus far, Israel has not provided evidence in writing to the UN to substantiate its allegations. Many countries reacted to the news by pausing or threatening to suspend their funding for UNRWA, which was already struggling to address the humanitarian calamity in Gaza caused by the Israeli military operations launched in response to the October 7th attack. Continuing with the quote from Forti, UNRWA is by far the largest humanitarian provider in the Strip, where virtually all the residents rely on it for aid. which is often life-saving or life-sustaining. Some 20 donor countries have placed a hold on funding commitments to UNRWA or said they would reassess future pledges. These include the agency's three largest donors, based on 2022 figures, the United States, Germany, and the European Union, unquote. I should say that Spain and Portugal actually increased its contribution to UNRWA, unlike these other countries. After UNRWA received these allegations on January 18th, they then, I think in a move of transparency, even though the evidence was unverified, shared the allegations with the Biden administration on January 24th, didn't even tell Israel they were doing it, but they shared the allegations with the Biden administration on the 24th. And then on the same day as the ICJ ruling on the 26th, Biden decided to freeze payments to UNRWA, along with other countries that followed suit, but the U.S. was the first. All these countries took these allegations at face value, although Israel has a long, long history of trying to smear UNRWA and a long history of presenting evidence that eventually is determined to be flawed or fabricated. I won't go into details, but recent examples, you might remember that Israel claimed that there was a Hamas command and control center under Al-Shifa Hospital. That was debunked. The murder of the iconic Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. At first, Israel blamed Palestinians, and then eventually it said, yeah, it came from us. And when Israel designated six Palestinian NGOs, vital humanitarian organizations, as terrorist organizations, they designated them as terrorist organizations, spread the evidence to the United States, to the EU, and the United States and EU didn't act on it. They both said the evidence was too flimsy and do not consider these NGOs as terrorist organizations. Those are just three examples. Various news organizations have doubted Israel's allegations, including the reputable Channel 4 in the UK. It released a 9-minute video. The video is linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. And they examined Israel's 6-page UNRWA accusation dossier and concluded, quote, it provides no evidence to support its explosive new claim that UNRWA staff were involved in the terror attacks on Israel, unquote. Apparently, the Israelis initially claimed they got their evidence from prisoner interrogations. Then they changed their tune when the possibility of using torture to extract false confessions from detainees came up. And now they claim the findings came from, quote, intelligence information, documents, and identity cards seized during the course of the fighting. And the evidence changed again yesterday, February 16th, when Defense Minister Yoav Gallant claimed that 30 UN relief agency employees actively participated in Hamas's October 7th attacks and named the 12 employees of UNRWA that Israel accuses of participating in the October 7th Hamas attack. That article is also linked at the Gaza Corner section. It may have a paywall. It's a Haaretz article. Israel has been accusing UNRWA of being infiltrated by Hamas for years and years, and it appears this time the accusations resonated with UNRWA's Western donors that provides the overwhelming majority of the funding. They've done so despite the fact that the UN is investigating the evidence. They have two independent investigations ongoing. There should be a preliminary report ready in a month and a final one perhaps in 2 months. But these countries could not wait, and they have frozen the aid. Whatever the truth turns out to be, Palestinian journalist and writer Yasser Al-Banna, who works in Gaza, put the Israeli unverified charges, I think, in proper perspective. He said, quote, logically speaking, it is not strange that 12 people out of 13,000 employees in Gaza could get involved in illegal activities. Those involved should be punished legally and professionally. We should not punish an entire agency, an entire people. Netanyahu, of course, is naturally delighted at the reaction of the Western powers that have frozen the aid. For at least 10 years, Netanyahu has done everything he can to advocate for the elimination of UNRWA. There are many quotes like this one. This one comes from 2018. UNRWA is an organization that perpetuates the Palestinian refugee problem. It also perpetuates the narrative of the right of return. Therefore, UNRWA needs to pass from this world, unquote. The higher-ups in the Israeli military don't necessarily see eye to eye with Netanyahu, because if UNRWA ceases to exist, Israel, as the occupying force, is obligated to assume the role in the occupied territories. The head of Save the Children called it, quote, magical thinking for governments to think other aid groups can replace UNRWA in Gaza. There's an opinion piece linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. The title is Israel's Beef Isn't with UNRWA. It's with Palestinian refugees' right of return. It's written by Hanin Majadli. She wrote, in response to the idea of wiping out UNRWA, this was her quote, "The organization represents something much bigger. The ethos of being a Palestinian refugee, or in other words, the right of return for Palestinian refugees. Annihilate UNRWA is to annihilate Palestinian history, to erase it." And she goes on to say, now Israel is seizing a window of opportunity. Peter Beinart, in another piece that's linked at the Gaza Corner section, has an excellent analysis in his opinion piece titled "The Campaign to Abolish UNRWA." Quote, "The recent defunding of the aid agency is part of a long-standing effort to extinguish Palestinian refugees' dreams of return." He discusses two specific reasons Israel gives for wanting to destroy UNRWA. Quote, "The first is that it foments violent resistance among Palestinians. The second is that it encourages their dreams of return to their native lands." He goes on to say, "UNRWA doesn't make Palestinian refugees want to return. It's because Palestinian refugees want to return and are entitled to do so under international law that UNRWA exists. Abolishing it would not strip Palestinians of their right to return, which derives not from UNRWA, but from UN Resolution 194, which declared in 1948 that, quote, refugees wishing to return to their homes and live at peace with their neighbors should be permitted to do so at the earliest practical date. That's been reaffirmed by the UN more than 100 times. It would not stop Palestinians from passing refugee status on to their children, since, as the UN explains, quote, under international law and the principle of family unity, the children of refugees and their descendants are also considered refugees until a durable solution is found. Beinart concludes, quote, abolishing UNRWA would not extinguish the Palestinian yearning to return, because that yearning is central to what it means to be Palestinian. Ironically, Israel's Declaration of Independence states, quote, after being forcibly exiled from their land, the people kept faith with it throughout their dispersion and never ceased to pray and hope for their return to it, unquote. Zionism is based on the very desire Israelis deny Palestinians. The United States and other countries have decided to suspend UNRWA funding, and this is a clear example of collective punishment at the most vulnerable and critical time for Gazans, And essentially, what the U.S. is doing in these countries, I mean, the U.S. already was complicit in genocide because of all the weaponry being used and the vetoes in the United Nations against a durable ceasefire. But now, what these countries are doing, in essence, is defying the interim ruling of the ICJ. One of the main provisions was to require more humanitarian aid into Gaza and preventing genocide by suspending aid to UNRWA. They are violating those two provisional measures. UNRWA Director of Communications Juliet Tuma stated that due to the aid suspensions, quote, UNRWA will likely have to suspend operations by the end of February or the beginning of March. Michael Thackeray, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food, said famine was imminent. Famine is now inevitable. The killing in Gaza has been by warp speed, the most intense air bombardment since World War II. Starvation is the other extreme. Starvation is a massacre, but in slow motion. You may recall Human Rights Watch accused Israel as using starvation as a weapon of war. And on November 28th, the World Health Organization stated, quote, eventually we will see more people dying from disease than we are even seeing from the bombardment. Since January 26th, the ICJ ruling, it's well documented that Israel continues to impede the delivery of human aid into Gaza. The ICJ told Israel that they must present a progress report on February 26th. I don't see how the ICJ can rule that Israel is abiding by the ICJ provisional measures. Again, Israel was ordered to, quote, take all measures within its power to avoid civilian deaths in Gaza, to prevent acts of genocide, and ensure the delivery of humanitarian aid. We will soon find out what the ICJ rules.